What's up, SoundCloud community? It's Lix here. How's it going? Good? Great. today, I have been racking my brain trying to figure out what I should record next. And since my last recording of the 100 to 1 challenge, it went pretty well. I thought that I would try it again. This time, a little bit different. This time I won't be counting from 100 to 1, actually, in my genius head, of course, I have decided to try and study. Yes, study. I am actually a student right now. I am studying forensic science. So much fun. I know, it's great. It's a lot of fun. But this time, since I have a pretty big exam to study for, I decided that I would try to get off while studying from my, just the joy, it's so great. It is my forensic pathology textbook for police, death investigators, and attorneys. Wow, that's really dark when you think about it. But yeah, anyway, I am gonna try to masturbate, I guess, while I study and see how it goes. I don't know. I actually was inspired to do this by another SoundCloud audio, I guess, community member as well. And a friend of mine actually told me that it would probably be pretty good to listen to, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. See how it goes. Okay. Alright. Okay. According to one definition, the word forensic means the application of scientific knowledge to legal problems. The term forensic science refers to a group of scientific disciplines which are connected with the application of the particular scientific area of expertise to law enforcement, criminal, civil, legal, and judicial matters. It is beyond the scope of this book to provide detailed descriptions of the various forensic science disciplines, so the reader is therefore referred to the many excellent textbooks and reviews of the forensic sciences for more detailed descriptions. This chapter provides only a very broad overview of the disciplines, with an emphasis, on how forensic pathologists might interact with each. Where possible, a specific organization within each discipline that is the recognized certifying agency for the profession is provided, readers should be aware that there are organizations and or boards that present themselves as legitimate. Such entities may or may not be reputable. Before providing a short description of the forensic disciplines, it is necessary to discuss three concepts that are important in all forensic sciences. The first involves maintaining the proper chain of custody when dealing with evidence of the nature of certain types cannot be collected and preserved indefinitely. An example is a human corpse that is evaluated at autopsy. In such instances, proper documentation is essential in order to reevaluate the evidence, the body, at a larger rate. In the case of an autopsy, such documentation is performed via diagrams, photographs, and an autopsy report. There are many other types of evidence that also require collection and preservation. For example, trace evidence such as hairs or fibers discovered at a crime scene, Some forms of evidence are actually consumed or destroyed during evaluation. For example, blood types being tested for drugs. Maintaining a proper chain of custody involves producing and maintaining written documentation which accompanies the evidence and provides an uninterrupted timeline showing the secure location of the evidence from the time that it was discovered until the present time. Any transfer of evidence from one person or secure location to another must be documented. Maintaining this chain of custody helps to ensure that the evidence has not been contaminated or compromised in any way. If the proper chain of custody is not maintained, the breaking of the chain may well provide a potential reason for such evidence to be inadmissible in court. The second issue of concern that crosses any and all fields of forensic sciences involves the existence of legal standards for the admissibility of forensic tests and expert testimony. One legal standard for the admissibility of a forensic test is Frye versus United States, which states the forensic technique in question must have general acceptance by the scientific community. Rule 702 of the Federal Rules of Evidence regulates the admissibility of expert testimony in regard to a test or discipline. Daubert versus Merrill Dow Pharmaceutical Inc. states that the decision about the admissibility of scientific evidence resides with the judge hearing the case. Expert witness. The third issue that relates to all forensic science disciplines is the concept of the expert witness. In contrast to a fact witness who is usually only able to relate the facts of the issue at hand as he or she observed them, an expert witness, because of his or her specific expertise within a particular discipline, is also to offer opinions regarding issues that relate to the scientific discipline. In order to be recognized as an expert witness, the witness must be officially qualified or recognized as an expert by the court. Usually, this involves a legal process referred to as a voir dire, wherein the credentials, training, expertise, etc., are presented to the court via questions and answers between an attorney and the witness. So long as the presentation is acceptable to both sides and the judge, a witness may be qualified to testify as an expert in a particular field. Forensic pathology. Forensic pathology represents a subspecialty within the medical specialty of pathology. Dealing with specifically the investigation of sudden, unexpected, and/or violent deaths, the autopsy is central to the practice of forensic pathology. Overview of forensic pathology is provided in Chapter 3. Forensic anthropology is a subspecialty within the scientific field of physical anthropology, the study of human beings in relation to their physical character, in which forensic anthropologists examine skeletal remains. Forensic anthropologists attempt to answer questions about bones, including questions regarding species of origin, human versus non-human, gender, age, race, stature, nutritional status. Mm-hmm. existence of disease processes and the presence and character of skeletal trauma. A forensic pathologist may consult with the forensic anthropologist when attempting to address any of the questions above. A frequent instance of consultation occurs when the forensic pathologist is presented with a badly decomposed or skeletized corpse that is unidentified. Board of certification in forensic anthropology is conferred by the American Board of Forensic Anthropology. Forensic odontology. Forensic odontology is an subspecialty within dentistry that a dentist has specialized expertise in using dental examination to assist in the identification of human remains and in the evaluation of bite marks, wherein a bite mark on a victim may be matched to a suspect. The majority of a forensic odontologist's involvement in forensic casework involves assisting forensic pathologists in the identification of bodies. Assistance is usually provided in cases where the body is not visibly identifiable, and identification by a fingerprint comparison or other means is not possible. The most common types of cases are persons who are badly burned and those who are badly decomposed. Forensic entomology. Forensic entomology is a subspecialty within the biological science discipline of entomology that primarily deals with insect succession patterns in decomposing human bodies. Evaluation of insects, including larval stages or maggots found on decomposing bodies, can permit scientific estimation of the time of death. In certain circumstances, information regarding the location of death may also be ascertained. Forensic pathologists do not consult with forensic entomologists in all decomposed stasis cases. But will consult with them on select cases where estimating the time of death may be very important. Chapter 8 provides more details on how forensic entomologists may estimate time of death. Board certification in forensic entomology is under the direction of the American Board of Forensic Entomology. Forensic toxicology is a discipline that involves the identification and quantification of drugs and other poisons or toxins in body tissues, including blood. Screening tests are said to be qualitative, whereas a test is either positive or negative, indicating that the drug toxin is not present. Where did I stop? Forensic toxicology is a discipline that involves the identification and quantification of other forms of other functions of some toxicology laboratories is drug identification. For example, if a bag of white powdery substance is found in the pocket of a dead person, the substance can be submitted to the laboratory for identification. Forensic pathologists rely a great deal on the forensic toxicology laboratory. In many jurisdictions, toxicology testing is performed on a majority of autopsy cases. In a significant percentage of forensic autopsy cases, the cause of death is related to the toxicology results. Forensic toxicology laboratories should be appropriately accredited by an officially recognized agency, such as the Board of Forensic Toxicology. Toxicologists may have varying levels of education. Board certification in forensic toxicology is conferred by the the American Board of Forensic Toxicology. Forensic psychiatry. Forensic psychiatry represents a discipline dealing with the evaluation of the mental state of criminals. Occasionally, forensic pathologists will interact with forensic psychiatrists and police investigators to perform a psychiatric profile of a suspect with a particular murder or series of murders. A psychological autopsy is sometimes necessary when attempting to determine the state of a suicide victim. A board of certification in forensic psychiatry is available via the board, the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology. Trace evidence. Trace evidence is a general term used to describe various relatively small pieces of evidence that can be evaluated scientifically. Such evidence can include such items as hair, fibers, paint chips, glass fragments, soil, gunshot residue, accelerants, and explosives. With certain types of evidence, the mere identification of the trace evidence may have significance in a particular case. For example, the identification of gunpowder, the clothing of a shooting victim, with other types of trace evidence. Crime laboratory scientists may be able to match or associate a particular piece of evidence collected from a crime scene to a source, including the alleged perpetrator of the crime. For example, a paint chip collected from the clothing of a hit-and-run pedestrian victim may be matched to a specific vehicle. Forensic pathologists' interaction with trace evidence analysis is usually via the recognition and collection of pertinent trace evidence on a body by the forensic pathologist in subsequent submission of the evidence to the crime laboratory. Trace evidence evaluations typically occur within the larger setting of a crime laboratory. Crime laboratories must be accredited by the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors. Fuck. Oh god. Fingerprint evidence Ever since fingerprints were discovered as a valuable means of identifying people, the discipline has been an important part of police forensic investigations. Fingerprints represent unique patterns of the ridges on the pads of the fingers, including the thumbs. The ridges occur in the epidermis, barring changes related to scar formation, which can obliterate portions of fingerprint. Fingerprints remain the same throughout an individual's life. The presumption, which has essentially been proven by decades of experience in casework, is that each individual has their own unique set of fingerprints. No two fingerprints have ever been found to be exactly identical between identical twins. Therefore, a fingerprint represents a specific individual characteristics of a particular person. Fingerprint examiners rely on various class characteristics, loops, whorls, and arches, as well as individual characteristics of fingerprints in their examinations. As evidence, fingerprints such as latent or invisible fingerprints at a crime scene can be matched to a known fingerprint in a database. A variety of methods are used to collect and preserve evidence fingerprints. Several automated fingerprint identification systems are available. These are computerized databases of fingerprints that are on file within various law enforcement agencies. For forensic pathologists, fingerprint comparison can be extremely useful in identifying an unknown corpse. In any offices, it is a standard operating procedure to create a fingerprint record of all bodies. Serology in DNA, blood, and other bodily fluids can be transferred from one person to another or identified at crime scenes. Forensic serologists can perform tests to determine if a suspicious fluid or stain is saliva, semen, or blood. Tests are available to determine if the evidence, such as blood, is of human origin. Once it is identified as human, then DNA testing can be attempted. Forensic DNA testing is sometimes referred to as DNA fingerprinting, which is the exception of identical twins. No two individuals' DNA is exactly alike. Other comparison tests within the forensic scientist, a standard example from a suspect is required in order to make a comparison. If a known standard is not available. For example, when an unidentified body is thought to be a particular person, but no standard of the person is available for comparison, the samples from close relatives, parents, and siblings can be used. Oh, fuck, I'm sweating. Oh my god. It is beyond the scope of this text to adequately explain DNA testing, but is an attempt will be made to provide the basic concepts. For genetic information is contained within structures called genes, which are made up of DNA. Each gene can be considered a template for the production of a specific protein. Proteins are substances. Oh, fuck. All sorts of functions within our bodies. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh. Oh my God. Oh fuck. Oh God. Oh my gosh, I'm shaking. Oh my God. Whew. Wow. Oh shit. Oh yeah. I'm liking forensic science a little more now. Oh.